Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
I know I don't have to tell you, this is a Christmas like no other. Whether you're a student or a senior or somewhere in between, there's never been a Christmas like this one for any of us. I don't know how you've been dealing or doing with everything that has been coming our way in 2020, but I do know that God never wastes a crisis. I do know that God can bring good things out of bad things. I do know that God has a plan and a purpose, that He's up to something through this experience. I also believe that you're here with us this evening for a reason. God has a reason. God has a message for you this Christmas that's critically important that you hear. What is it, you ask? Well, it's a secret. You know, Christmas time is a season of secrets, isn't it? We wrap gifts to keep their contents a secret. The secret adds to the magic and the mystery of gift giving. There's something irresistible about a secret. Just that word, secret, grabs our attention and fuels our desire to learn more. Secrets create tension that we need to resolve. They stir our curiosity and motivate us to listen and learn. We keep secrets because perhaps they contain sensitive information that we're not comfortable sharing, or even more basically, information that's confidential. Sometimes it's just prudent to keep a secret. It's the strategic thing to do. You keep something a secret because it's just not time to reveal it. We keep secrets for very good reasons, and we reveal secrets for very good reasons too. You might choose to reveal a secret that you have if it's a burden you're carrying. You're sharing a secret to lighten your load and perhaps get the help that you need too. You share secrets to deepen a connection and build a relationship with somebody else. If we share a secret, we share a very special bond. We reveal our secrets because we want someone else to know us and to know our hearts. We all have a fundamental need to be understood. We need to share our story with others, including our struggles and our fears, our hopes and our dreams. We reveal our secrets to people we trust, people we care about, people who will guard and value our secrets. So we all have secrets, we all share secrets, everybody knows that. But here's something you might not know. God has secrets. It's true, he does. God has secrets, and sometimes he hides those secrets, that's true too. But here's something else. He hides them for you, not from you. There's a difference. He hides secrets for you to encourage you, to care about them, to look for them, to get to know them, and in the process, to value them. Perhaps you've never considered that before, but it's perfectly true. Nothing could be clearer in Scripture. God keeps secrets for you. He has secrets for you, secrets he wants to share with you, secrets about what he's doing in the world. If you think about it, the Christmas story, the whole Christmas story, is all about God revealing secrets. That very first Christmas, God revealed his secrets to Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and John the Baptist, and he revealed his secrets to them so that they could participate in his plan, so that they could work with him and help him out. Did you know sometimes secrets are hidden in plain sight? And sometimes those kind of secrets are the very best. A few years ago, my associate Tom wanted to get his kids a dog for Christmas. But a dog is a pretty tricky secret to try and keep quiet, especially since the dog they found and very much wanted was only available at the beginning of December. And none of their friends or family were willing to take the dog. They didn't want to undertake the expense of boarding the dog. And of course, they didn't want to ruin the surprise. So Tom brought the dog home and announced that they would be dog sitting for a friend. The dog lived with the family for the whole month of December. Each of the kids got to know the dog and learned how to care for the dog, and each in their own way fell in love with the dog. Then, on Christmas morning, after the kids had opened all their gifts, Mom and Dad brought out one more round of gifts, and the gifts were all about the dog toys and accessories. And as the kids opened these gifts, they gradually realized the secret. The dog was their dog. The magic of Christmas is all about secrets revealed, secrets often hidden in plain sight. God's secrets are hidden for you in plain sight too. One of the most obvious places to look, of course, is the Bible. God is hidden in plain sight, secrets and promises for you in the Bible. In fact, the secret I believe God has for you tonight can be found in the passage we just read from the Gospel of Luke. Luke is one of four Gospels or accounts of the life of Jesus. Luke gives us the story of Christmas that includes those verses made infamous by Linus in Charlie Brown Christmas. It goes like this, you remember. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. So Luke's point is that the birth of Jesus is not a fairy tale, a fantasy, or a fable. It's an historic event. It really happened in a very specific time and place. And here's what happened. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A very simple, a very tender scene, but now the scene shifts dramatically. There were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. Those enduring, endearing characters of the Christmas story, the shepherds. The shepherds. Shepherds, in that time and culture, were about as low as you could go on the social ladder. They lived outdoors with sheep, and so they smelled like, well, like people who live outdoors with sheep. They were filthy most of the time, but they were also considered ritually unclean, and therefore unfit, unwelcome in the temple in Jerusalem. Shepherds, if you think about it, were the ultimate unchurch people of the day, which was especially ironic in the case of these shepherds, because these shepherds tended the sheep, which were kept in the fields between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, the sheep that were used in the ritual sacrifice of the temple. These sheep were the lambs of God who were sacrificed in atonement for sin, the lambs of God who took away the sins of the world. Most other shepherds kept their sheep in sheepfolds at night together with other flocks. Not these sheep. These sheep had to be kept separate because they had to remain unblemished if they were actually going to be used for sacrifice in the temple. So they were kept in the fields at night. That's what's going on when, all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people." The shepherds were sore afraid. They were so afraid it hurt. You would be too. We're not talking about chubby cherubs here. The angels described elsewhere in Scripture are fierce and warrior-like, terrifying to the shepherds, who are probably no more than boys. So, the angel's first message to them is an urgent one. He says simply, "Fear not." They need to calm down and overcome their initial fear if they're going to hear the angel's message. And the message? The message is all about good news. Good news that a Savior has been born, God has sent his Son into the world, and they can find him. They can find him in Bethlehem, in a stable, lying in a manger, in other words, out in the cold, living with animals, just like the shepherds themselves. It's worth pausing here to consider, just for a moment, how simply unbelievable this story really is. Think about it. I don't mean the angels or the star and all the rest. I actually think the most unbelievable part of this story is that God chose to share the most important news in history, the biggest secret in the whole wide world, with these outcasts. Think about that. Anyway, you will want to pay attention to the next part because it includes what I think is God's secret for you this Christmas. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And the secret is all about favor, God's favor. The same secret the angel first shared with those scared boys that first Christmas, he shares with you this Christmas. The Lord says to you, there is a season of grace and favor. There is a season of grace and favor bigger than lockdowns and quarantines and civil unrest and social distancing. bigger than party politics or presidential elections, bigger than COVID-19. There's a season of grace and favor in which you can come to know God at a whole different level. No matter who you are or what you've done, no matter your stage or state in life, the Lord invites you into his favor. The Lord invites you into his favor to come to know him as Father, who not only loves you, he likes you, and he's often delighted in you. The Lord invites you into his favor to come to know him as your Savior, to save you from debt or doubt or disappointment, from fear or faults or failures, a Savior who can save your marriage, who can save your relationship with your adult children, your finances, who can save you from isolation and aloneness, who can even save you from past mistakes. The Lord invites you into his favor to come to know him as your advocate. He's the one who's for you, who's working for you. So, what's the favor God wants to bestow on you specifically this Christmas? I don't know. It's a secret. It's a secret God has for you. And maybe only you will ever know it in your heart. His favor might be to bring you a job that fulfills you, or help you find fulfillment in your current job, grow greater love and friendship in the circle of your family, give more focus and direction to you when it comes to school, bestow joy for living and hope through and beyond these difficult days. This kind of favor is real, and it's really available, but it tends to elude the disinterested and the disengaged. Instead, it's usually experienced when we're quite deliberate about it. That's why a daily quiet time, even if only a few minutes a day, to listen and talk to God is the very best practice that you could undertake in the new year. But you don't have to figure it out all alone and on your own either. Others can help. That's why it helps to have a church family to support you as you come to know or grow in God's favor. And there are amazing churches out there in whatever part of the world you find yourself in. And if you don't have a church family, think about finding one that's perfect for your family this coming year. Of course, you're always welcome here at Church of the Nativity in North Baltimore, or wherever you are online. Luke goes on to tell us the end of the story, at least this part of the story. The shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. I think that might be my favorite part of the story. They hurried off. The ultimate unchurched guys hurry off to meet the Lord Jesus, and they are the first people the Lord Jesus receives. If, like the shepherds, you've ever felt left out of religion or unwelcome in church, don't confuse religion and church for God. Instead, consider the message of his favor. And like those shepherds, don't lose any time. Don't lose any more time getting to know that favor. Open your hearts to him right now, tonight. Just say in your own words, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Come into my family." It should be no secret. God favors you.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.